Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And good morning! What a beautiful fall, chilly, foggy day it is.
Dark
and foggy.
Ooh. But with diamonds scattered across the grass.
When the light hits it,
it looks like it's just diamond encrusted glass.
I did have to do some scraping this morning, so yeah.
Yes, it's coming.
It's coming. And we are the second to the last day of October, October 31st tomorrow. Are you going to dress up for tomorrow?
Halloween? Yeah. Actually, no, I'm not.
You're not?
Yeah.
She dresses
a little confused.
She gets to dress down and be casual and comfy tomorrow and not have to be professional doctor.
Yeah, but I was thinking that maybe next year I will plan a little bit better and do something special for Halloween. You know, we should do something for the office too.
Yes, and
maybe
it'll be
dress
on
up
a Friday.
Yes, but I got in trouble with that one time.
Oh, you did?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Okay.
Many years ago, back when I was a family physician, country doc. I allowed the office to dress up for Halloween. And so, you know, we had our staff dressed as black cats and witches and all sorts of stuff. And I dressed as a clown. Now, I had purple, white, and green vertical stripes, which made me look taller than I already am.
Okay.
6'4". And I wore my cowboy boots, which added another inch to my height. And I had a big orange fright wig with a red rubber nose and a painted smile on my face. And at lunchtime, I had to run over to the bank.
Oh, no.
So I went in the bank, and I'm standing in line, and I go to cash this check, and I pass the check over to the teller. And she looked at the check, and she looked at me. She looked at the check. She looked at me, this tall clown with orange hair and a red nose. She said, "Are you really Dr. Mixon?" I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "Oh, I'm scheduled to have my first pelvic exam with you."
Oh, right, no.
And you're going to be dressed like a clown. Okay, that's awesome.
Okay. Yes, so she was going to have this clown do her first gynecologic exam. So I said, you know, I probably should not dress up at Halloween when I'm in the office.
Not on those days.
So I learned a lesson from that one.
And if she had a fear of clowns before.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the sort of intimate exam that you want a clown doing for you.
There you go.
Anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, it will be on a
live and learn
next year.
Yes,
so
learned.
We have a year to plan. My hubby and I are Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast. I see. And which are you? Oh, never mind.
Yeah. Oh, you meant which beauty? Will I be the dressed up in the yellow ball gown beauty or in the regular blue dress? I'm going to go with the blue dress and the apron because that's the one I have.
Okay.
Okay.
And I could be more comfortable.
All right.
Okay. That was Belle, if I remember.
That was Belle. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, good memory.
Yeah. Cool. Good job. Yeah,
some little milkmaid. Yes.
That likes to read books. The smart guy. I love her.
Yeah.
So,
that's
right. Smart girl.
That's right.
Uses her brain.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, welcome to Leading Edge Medicine and costume and Halloween memories of past. So that's always fun to kind of talk about. But the doctors are real people. They like to dress up and do fun things. So
that's right.
There you go. just not at your gynecological
exam. Just not
during
your GYN exams.
Yeah, so just don't schedule on the 31st and you'll be much happier. There you go.
That's right.
Okay, anyway. So we love starting the show off with some news and what's going on, but let me give you the phone number in case you have questions, but not about costumes. And no, I will just say no. Right now, Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat will not dress up as clowns if you do have that type of exam, although you don't do those anymore.
Don't do those anymore.
There you go. Yeah. And mm-hmm. maybe that's why.
Well, we still don't dress up as clowns either.
That's true. That's true. Here's our phone number to get on the show today, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770 for Leading Edge Medicine to talk with Dr. Jerry Mixon or Dr. Samira Umat. Okay, what's new in news?
News. Well, of
medical
course,
news.
We're still dragging ourselves through COVID.
Oh, yes.
Washington State, we're down to 28 cases per 100,000. We're not dropping very fast. We're kind of stagnant, you know.
But now we're below the
below 30.
U.S. norm. Okay.
Well, actually, no.
That's dropped too.
The national average is now 27. We're 28. So we're still slightly worse than the average in America.
Okay.
We are far, far worse than the free states, of course, Texas and Florida. Florida is 8.
Okay.
We're 28.
Oh, oops.
Okay. So we're 3.5 times Florida. Texas is 14. So they're exactly half
of what we have.
Of what we have per 100,000. Texas had one anomaly. When I looked at their map, I saw one county that had 158 cases per 100,000.
Whoa.
And I said, wow, wait a minute. The state overall is 14. Here's one county with 158 cases per 100,000. So I looked up the county.
Uh-oh.
There's a total of 256 people in the county.
Oh.
That's okay. One family lives there.
Oh, I was thinking Disney World. Oh, no.
No, 256 people in the whole county. Well, per 100,000, that means they had one case 10 days ago.
Okay, when you do the math, then figure that out. Okay,
yeah, right. They've never had a death in that county, and they average less than one case per day. In fact, they had their one case was about 10 days ago, but that gave them 158 cases per 100,000.
Mm.
So it seems to me that's a fairly safe county to be in.
Okay,
mm-hmm. And the one case probably some of it, you know, visited from Dallas or something.
There you go.
So, but yeah, so Washington State is slowly, despite all of our lockdowns and masks, and now you have to have take your vaccination card to get in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I guess the governor has decided that, you know, he only killed half the restaurants in Washington State. He wants
to
kill
the
other
half
now.
Yeah.
Moron. But, anyway, we will give the good news is, I guess, the state, rather than having you carry that card around, because the card is too big to fit in your wallet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Men can't carry the card if they put things in their wallet because mm-hmm. it's twice the size of a wallet card. So the state now has given you, if you will go to the state, you can get a download of a QR code.
Okay.
That download to your phone.
Yeah, yeah.
And the
okay.
Q codes for your phone now will give you your documentation.
Okay.
Oh, so you can't take a photograph of it?
Oh, there it is.
The Q code just downloads to your phone.
Okay, so you can take a picture of your Q code.
You don't even have to it'll actually come down to your file.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if you just enter file, or you can tell it to download, and it'll download to your phone.
There you go.
Huh.
We're seeing it now.
So, where did you get it?
I downloaded it Wednesday.
Okay.
And, so my wife sent me the link, and I just went to the state, and I put in my name and stuff, and they send me a thing. It tells when I got my first shot, when I got my second shot. The third shot that I got Thursday, the booster I got on Thursday, that's not on there quite yet, but hopefully it'll download here as soon as the state gets their information updated. So
very good. So, and how are you doing with the booster?
I was really tired for 24 hours.
Okay, just tired, fatigue.
Yeah, I got the booster and the flu shot at the same time.
Oh, okay.
So I got the flu shot in the right arm and the booster in the left, and So I had two mildly sore arms. I got the booster at 8:30 in the morning, and by 6 o'clock that evening, I was just totally exhausted. I could not keep my eyes open. So I crashed at 6:30 in the evening, slept till 6 o'clock yesterday morning. And yesterday I was stiff.
Mm-hmm.
I felt old and stiff all over. I couldn't flex and bend very well. And I was just kind of tired and loggy.
Mm-hmm.
But slept well last night and I'm fine today. So I had, I went to bed early and was stiff for one day. And that was my reaction to the
booster.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Yeah. I wonder if most people should get both of them together or spread them
apart.
I don't
know. You know, the CDC says that it's fine to do them together. I just don't like to go get shots. For one thing, getting on the schedule and making the appointment and showing up at the pharmacy just irritates me. So I just did it all at once.
Mm.
But I never have a reaction to the flu shot anyway.
Right.
So I wasn't worried about that. And, you know, the COVID, now my second shot and my third shot have both just made me tired for a day.
Sure.
Okay.
So.
Did you get Moderna or
Yeah,
Pfizer?
I was going to ask you if you I've mixed it up a bit.
No, I had Moderna.
You stayed with Moderna.
Yeah.
Moderna is by far the safer for men, for elderly males.
Yeah.
I'm going to do Pfizer for my daughter at 9 because Pfizer is the safest for kids, especially for females. Johnson & Johnson is the worst for everybody. It's just it's the most dangerous of the bunch and the least effective. So I want to get the combination of the biggest safety plus the most effectiveness.
Yeah. I was actually, remember we've been talking about mixing vaccines and how the studies are showing that it's probably not a bad idea.
The fact is, if you had Johnson & Johnson, it's a great idea.
Yeah, sure. Definitely.
But I was listening to this podcast from a virologist up on the East Coast somewhere, I think New York or Boston, and he was actually not suggesting to mix vaccines.
Uh-huh. His thought, rational.
He said that you fall through the cracks. He says nobody's then interested in following up. The companies are going to follow up. If there's a problem, you know, they don't know what caused the problem. So if you switch vaccines, nobody is really vested in you. But if you stick to the same throughout, you will get coverage. It's good coverage. And, you know, they're following up. They're making, they are collecting data.
Yeah.
But in the mixing, you're likely not going to be counted. And if there's problems.
That's true. You won't. Yeah, I can understand that. You would not be followed in the research studies as effectively. But from what we know so far, Johnson & Johnson only gave 70-some percent protection at its best.
Mm-hmm.
And the protection falls off fast.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got that single Johnson & Johnson shot thinking you were only going to need the one shot, you know, they've said, no, actually didn't work very well. Within, you know, within 2 or 3 months, you do need the second shot.
Right.
And even with the second shot, it was Johnson & Johnson had the fatal blood clots in the brain and the clotting issues as by far the worst of the three. So I don't, you know, Johnson & Johnson gives you the least coverage, the least protection against COVID, and the highest incidence of serious complications. Pfizer gives very good coverage up front, 95% within a month of your second shot. But in 5 months, you've lost half your protection. You're down to 47%. Moderna gives slightly less upfront protection, 94.5 instead of 95, big whoop. But it makes much higher antibody levels. And so the higher antibody levels, in fact, it's about 3 to 4 times higher antibody levels than Pfizer. So your protection lasts longer. And we don't really know when you get down to that level. You know, they're following it. It's still 70% 6 and 7 months up the road. And so I went 8 months between my last shot and my booster. And as boosters go, you know, taking a third Johnson & Johnson shot, as we said, will boost your antibody levels fourfold. But if you had Johnson & Johnson, adding a Pfizer will take you up 34-fold.
Wow, big difference.
And if you take a Moderna on top of your Johnson & Johnson, you get boosted 76 times higher.
Even better.
Yeah, so you know, so as a booster, I'm saying I would go with Moderna every time for a booster. Just because you get higher antibody levels.
All right. Well, wonderful update on what's going on the news, and a little stiff Dr. Mixon with the arms.
That was just yesterday.
That was yesterday. Okay. Your phone calls. If you have a question, we'd love to talk with you. 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and we'll be back right after this break.
The aging process is not easy. This is not something you can stop, but you can certainly feel a lot better along the way and not have as many of the symptoms that people think is normal when they aren't. And that's what longevity will do for you. As far as longevity goes, it is as close as you're going to get to the fountain of youth.
Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game.
Back to Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, along with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon today, taking your phone calls. We would love to talk with you if you have a health-related or medical-related question, maybe a recent diagnosis, or perhaps you're kind of concerned about maybe something that you're on or want some information, new information. It's always wonderful to talk with you at 800-465-8770. We will talk to Chris right now. Chris is calling from Seattle. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Chris. All. How are you?
Oh, we are fine. How can we help today, sir?
First question, I heard you talking that you got your booster. Did you get a Moderna booster, and are they now available?
Yes, Moderna is available. The boosters are available for all three. And like I said, as a booster, the Moderna gives much better protection than either the Pfizer or the Johnson & Johnson.
And the Moderna booster is half the dose of the original vaccine.
Well, and that's because they found Pfizer didn't boost the levels as high. So they're having to use a full strength for the Pfizer. Moderna gives a 76-fold increase over Johnson & Johnson, even at half strength. So you don't need the full strength of Moderna.
Okay, good. Because I have my first two vaccinations are both Moderna, so it's good to know. My second question is, are you familiar with brain mapping, and what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, but you know, tell me which aspect of brain mapping. The phrase is used a whole lot. I mean, Dr. Ammon uses it a lot with his clinics where he does brain scans for just about everything. So What are you looking for?
Well, from what I can, it's something my father is going to undergo, and I'm not quite for sure. He had mentioned it. It's something like a helmet that he would wear, and to tell you the truth, I don't know. I heard he mentioned brain mapping. So,
all right. Well, you see, there's a whole host of neurologic research that's going on, trying to figure out what parts of the brain are involved in what parts of your function, and what parts of your brain are you losing with age, what parts of your brain are being damaged with different forms of dementia. You know, we have one doctor who's got basically a national rollout of his clinics that started here in Seattle, Dr. Amon. He's doing brain scans and mapping for everything from dementia to obsessive compulsive disorders you name it, he's got a scan for it. So really, to talk about brain mapping, you kind of have to narrow it down as what aspect we're looking at. But check with your dad and call us back. We'll be happy to chat about it.
Yeah, I will. Thank you so much. And you guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving too.
All right.
And,
thank you.
because I won't be in town, but we got Halloween coming up.
Oh yes, Halloween this week, tomorrow.
That's right.
But listen,
right.
If you want to listen to the shows and you're not in town, both of the stations that we are on have an app, and if you download the app to your phone, you can listen to us anywhere on planet Earth if you've got a cellular or a Wi-Fi signal. So you just download.
That's awesome. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, this is exactly what you said, Jerry.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah.
Thank you, Chris.
Take care.
It's basically a cap to look at, you know, electrical activity of the brain, a certain segment of the brain, mm-hmm. and then to map it and then keep looking at progression over time. And what he does is uses either supplements or neurodevelopmental techniques or something mm-hmm. to help improve that part of the brain's function.
Right. Yeah. The problem with that particular clinic that I've seen so far is that there seems to be a wide variety of interpretations to the same study.
Hmm.
So I've had a couple of people that went over, got their mapping done, but then when another doctor in the same clinic looked at it, came up with a totally different interpretation.
Sure. Okay.
So it doesn't appear to be as standardized as I would like.
Sure.
So I think there's a degree of guess and by golly and individual interpretation between physicians there.
Yeah. Okay. So. Okay.
All right.
But they're using PET scans and SPECT scans to do some of this work.
Yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah. You know, I think the concept is great.
Mm.
You know, I love the research. I love the gathering the data and the information over time.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure, at least, of course, the patients that I know that had gone there were a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
and things may have settled down or gotten better since then.
Right, and I think what I like about the idea is that there's no radiation exposure.
Yeah, it's a work in progress.
Yeah,
you know, and I expect over time it'll get better and better and better.
Sure. Okay.
We'll see.
All right. Yeah.
Hey, let's take a call. We have Ken calling from Kirkland. Good morning, Ken. How are you?
I'm doing well. Sounds like you guys are all chipper this morning.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Even without Halloween costumes.
That's right.
That's right.
My question has to do with which is the more effective approach to healthy eating. I think that most of the people that I've read or listened to are on board with intermittent fasting or intermittent eating, as mm-hmm. Dr. Mixon has called it in the past. But where I see a lot of disagreement is the kind of Neil Barnard approach, where it's 100% plant-based and no fats,
mm-hmm.
no animal meat. And then the Mark Hyman approach, where it's mostly vegetables again, green leafy vegetables, very little fruit, if any, simple carbohydrates, and you can have a medicinal amount of meat, and most fats are okay, primarily vegetable, or fats from vegetables like avocados and whatnot.
Right.
So, seems to be a major divergence there, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are.
All right. Human beings are omnivores. We are designed to survive on almost any diet. That's why we are so successful in every niche on the planet. You know, we eat anything that doesn't eat us first.
I've heard you say that before, Jerry.
I love it.
But it is true. So, you know, we can consume almost anything and can get by on it. Now, what we're now doing, though, in our first world plenty, is trying to figure out what is the healthiest for us. And there's a difference in what we can survive on and what will allow us to survive the longest and the healthiest. And those are two very different concepts. Basically, I go back to what was our evolutionary development as human beings, as Homo sapiens sapiens. You know, we developed long before agriculture. There were no farms. There was no plenty. There was not food available 24/7. We did not have a lot of animal products in our diet just because our ancestors, you know, our teeth are punny. Our claws are almost non-existent. We can't hunt down and kill animals, or at least our ancestors couldn't, because all they had was rocks and sticks as weapons. So we were basically scavengers. We ate mostly plants because plants were easiest to catch. They didn't run very fast. Yeah. Fish was something we evolved to eat very quickly because we discovered that fish and so on in tidal pools. Mm-hmm. We could dam and we could catch them in rivers, and they were easy to hunt. Red meat is relatively late in our diet as something that was plentiful. Only the very wealthy and powerful had red meat for most of human history. And so we have not really evolved to handle large quantities of it. Although in our society, it's plentiful and, you know, we crave it because it was rare for our ancestors. Mm-hmm. So we find it very tasty, but that doesn't mean large quantities of it are good for us.
Right.
You know? The biggest single problem in the modern diet, though, is volume. We do too damn much and too often. Mm. And that's why we're fat. And we're not just fat as a species, just in one generation. Go back to the 1950s, and the portions served in restaurants in the 1950s are about one third the size of the portions served in restaurants today.
Mm.
You know, we have come to expect bigger and bigger portions, and we stuff ourselves and we eat too often.
And the more you eat, the more you want food.
Yes.
And you get into the habit of eating more.
Okay.
And you stretch out your stomach.
Yes, you do.
And you, yeah, and the satiety mechanisms become distorted.
Oh, yes. And mine is distorted.
I don't even know what that is, but if hers is distorted, I bet mine is. Yeah. What's a satiety?
Satiety means you're satisfied. You've had enough to eat.
Your brain tells you stomach, okay, it's full now, stop eating. But mine doesn't work like that.
Oh, it does. Okay. What I once heard that you're not supposed to eat more than your fist. Is that a good
meat serving, right?
Yeah, I seldom eat my fist.
Yeah.
I have been known to gnaw my knuckles from time to time. But,
if you are a carnivore, no. And I thought it was like the whole meal was right. What you would...
You know, the trick is you eat enough to provide the energy that you need to be robust and active and do the things you need to do.
Yeah, it's actually a great question. I see that we're coming up to a break, Lynette. Should we take a break and then come back to Ken and finish off? Because there's more we can talk about
there's
here.
A lot more we can talk about in diet. Yeah.
Can you stay right there? Dr. Mixon, Dr. Umat will be here. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back to talk about keto versus plant and how much should we actually be eating and more.
Don't forget the caveman diet.
I know. I was thinking about
that. And the blood type diet.
When the club was invented, that's when,
That's right.
Okay. We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine and your questions at 800-465-8770. Stay right there.
I have been going to Longevity Medical for a year now, and I felt better than I've ever felt in my whole entire life. So I want to thank you, first of all. My wife, now she's been going to Longevity for about a month because I started liking her so good, I talked her into doing it too. Now we're both just buzzing right along here, and I can see her getting better every day.
Really, 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 are you really mine? Really, 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 are you really mine?
You tell me tell me that you want me, and you even wear my graduation ring. It's too wonderful.
And welcome back, Leading Edge Medicine. Hi there, my name is Lynette. Glad to be with you on this second to the last day of October, along with Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. And we were talking with, and still are, talking with Ken about the keto diet versus the plant-based diet, a little history on why we eat what we eat and why do we eat too much.
Yeah. Well, you know, we are genetically coded, though, to eat too much.
Hmm.
Because our ancestors, there was a lot of food available in the summer and fall.
Yeah.
That's when the grains were ripe and the fruit was out. And, you know, and so our ancestors ate a lot in the summer and the fall, and they gained some fat. They put some fat on because winter was coming.
Yes.
And food was going to be hard to get. And so if our ancestors went into winter skinny, they died.
Oh,
they didn't live to have babies in the spring. And so what happened was we selected the chubbiest population to have children and procreate, and we are the descendants of the chubby.
Right. And the genetic code has the fat cells.
Yes.
Okay.
So for the vast majority of us, our genome is designed that whenever food is available, we eat it. And the problem is food is always
available. Yeah. Yes.
And it's high calorie, high fat, high rich, high everything food.
That's right.
Is available 24/7.
Well, it tastes better.
Well, it does, and and that's why it tastes
better. Yeah,
we're coded to find fatty, rich, high, simple carbohydrate foods tasty.
That's right. But you see, it was, I think, Dean Ornish, or what, during that early time when he first came out with the fat-free diets, and we believe that
his book "Eat More, Weigh Less."
And in those days, it was believed that fat is the culprit, and so everybody piled up on the carbohydrates, and we became low-fat everything.
Right.
But unfortunately, cardiovascular disease continued to increase in that mantra, and it wasn't until much later that we realize that good fat is not the problem. Bad fat is the problem. And that's when
excess carbohydrate
is definitely the big problem. Mm-hmm. And that's when people like Mark Hyman and others came along and said, well, okay, you got to start eating healthy fat. Avocados, olive oil is good for you. Your brain needs it. But you cut back on the carbohydrates. And actually, even Dean Ornish changed his philosophy on that.
Yeah, he started off with a very, very low fat.
Yes.
But again, his original diet, the Ornish diet, was a very low fat, but a very high fiber, complex carb diet.
Yeah.
And so people got very skinny on his diet, and they actually reversed the coronary artery
disease.
Because it was a very low, simple carbohydrate
diet.
That's
right. That's right. He has actually documented reversal of plaque.
Yes. People with a 90% occlusion of their carotid arteries after 18 months pulled enough plaque out, they were only 50% occluded, which is a big, big change.
Yes.
But yes, he evolved.
I think his next book was Ornish?
That was Dean Ornish, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cardiologist was down in Texas.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what Barnard's saying.
Right.
Yeah. But then he evolved as the new data came out, and then he wrote a book called The Spectrum.
Yes.
And he was asking people then to eat a wider variety of deeply pigmented fruits and vegetables, still high fiber, not simple carbohydrates. But turns out that fat in your diet produces satiety. There's that word for you.
Oh, there it is again.
Yeah.
Fat allows you to feel full.
Full,
okay. Yeah.
And if you don't have enough fat, you want to eat and eat and eat and eat. You don't feel full even when your stomach is bulging.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And Dr. Fung's book highlighted this a little bit when he wrote about intermittent fasting and how fat in your diet allows you to feel full and therefore go along with the intermittent fasting protocols, whichever one you're trying to follow.
Right.
But fat is good for brain. Your body needs that, and you cannot deprive it. Now, another thing to think about, too, is family history. Mm-hmm. So if you do have a strong family history of coronary artery disease, then you have to be very careful about how much fat you consume. But you do need some. I don't believe that we can do well without any fat in our diet, although there are people who are very strong proponents of a no-fat diet.
Yeah. But, you know, most things have some degree of fat. I mean, oils are in plants, you know.
Well, yeah.
And so there's I guess the biggest divergence we're seeing now is the keto diet.
Mm.
And ketosis is a state your body enters when you are burning fat. And whether you're burning the fat on your belly and butt or whether you're burning the fat in your diet, either way, you become ketotic.
Mm-hmm.
Ketone bodies are produced by fat metabolism. And it turns out that if you have not enough carbohydrate in your diet to provide the energy, your metabolism will shift over to burning fat instead. And that's the concept between the keto diet, is to short yourself on carbohydrates to the degree that your body becomes dependent on burning fat. And one way to shift that is to eat most of your calories in the form of fat. And your body will say, oh, it's fat, I need to burn it. Then if you are a calorie short, you're already set up to burn the fat on your belly and your butt too.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes two things. A, total calories have to be below expenditure.
Right.
And B, you need to have made your body dependent on fat as an energy source.
Yeah.
So you can stay fat on a keto diet by simply eating more calories than your body
can
burn.
Absolutely right.
So keto diets are not necessarily the answer. They are an answer.
Yeah, and you have to be very careful with your cholesterol levels. So if you have a family history or a personal history of hyperlipidemia.
Or if you're diabetic and you have early renal disease.
Yes.
Diabetics with kidney involvement do not do well with a keto diet.
Correct.
All right. Is that helpful for you, Ken?
Yeah, very.
All right.
I appreciate your time.
You bet.
Thank
you for your call.
Take care, sir. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Our phone number to get through today, 800-465-8770. This is Leading Edge Medicine. And we have John on the line. Hi there, John.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I've got about a few questions on zinc. One is about how much should you take a day? Two is, does it deplete your copper? And three, how do you supplement the copper?
Okay. First, zinc and copper are competitive. So if you raise your zinc, your copper relatively goes down. If you raise your copper, your zinc tends to go down. So there is a copper-zinc ratio. And I don't supplement either one most of the time.
Well, yeah, most of the time. But lately we have been because of the viral infections.
Precisely.
And so the average dose is about 20 to 25 milligrams daily. You know what I've been telling everybody? We have 50s in our office, and mm-hmm. I tell them, cut them in half. They're pills. They're round little tablets.
Right.
And I said, cut them in half, and you have 25 milligrams every day.
Okay.
So 20 to 25 milligrams is what I'm telling everybody. It has worked very well for during COVID times. But I will admit, prior to COVID, it was only based on the micronutrient test that I ever used zinc, repletion.
Yeah, zinc, I use zinc whenever I start to get at all stuffy, and I think I may be coming down with something.
I used to use more of our immune factor, echinacea.
Mm-hmm.
And echinacea would work very well, too. And so, you know, it's hard to know it was viral or bacterial. You know, pre-COVID, we didn't. It was mostly, you know, either or. Who knew? Now everything is viral. So during this COVID era, zinc has actually become very important.
Yeah. You know, I load my pills once a week, except when I travel, in which case I take two pill trays and I'll load for 2 weeks. But every Saturday, I take 15 minutes and I load my wife and myself our pills for the next week. And I use those 50 milligram zinc, but I put in three a week. So I don't put them in every day. I put in, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday sort of thing.
So that's exactly what I'm telling everybody.
Yeah. except cutting them in half.
Half, yeah.
I just throw one in Monday,
every
Wednesday,
other
and Friday.
Friday, okay.
You know, and I don't put them in on the weekend. So, yeah, so we're using the same amount. I also keep some zinc swabs that I can use to swab my nose if I start to get stuffy. Maybe every 6 months or so, I'll end up swabbing my nose one night just because I say, am I getting stuffy?
Yeah.
And then I swab it and it goes away. I mean, I haven't had a cold in years. Last time I got sick was when my wife and daughter brought COVID to me in January of 2000. So yeah, zinc and copper are competitive. Generally, if you're eating a reasonable diet, you don't need to supplement with copper. Copper can be toxic in relatively high levels, and so you want to be cautious with copper supplementation. Zinc is a bit more innocuous. We have higher tolerances for zinc levels.
And then, you know, if all else fails, do a nutritional analysis.
Yes.
Remember, everybody's absorption is different as well. You know, everybody doesn't absorb the same way. You have to have a healthy gut to absorb all the nutrients anyways. And so it's very difficult to say, oh, this much is just right for you.
Yeah.
What do you need to take as a companion with zinc to be absorbed?
I have not been taking anything. You know, I've got plenty of fats in my diet, so I don't need to supplement with that, besides which I am throwing omega-3s down both morning and evening. But I start breakfast. I take my pills, and then I go out for breakfast, and I have a big dollop of whipped cream on
help the medicine go down.
No, it's just that... We eat a robust, and we have plenty of fat in our diet. It's just that we only eat breakfast and lunch. We don't eat dinner. If I'm going to eat anything at night, I will have maybe a plum.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's about the closest I get to an evening meal. So I fast from midday till the following morning every day. And it's just become so normal. I don't really think of it as fasting. I just don't eat dinner, except occasionally we have business associates that come
to
town.
I'll have the plum, please.
Yeah. And I have to take some. You know, we take somebody out to a fancy restaurant for dinner, and I hate to spend $500 on a restaurant bill, and I didn't get to eat anything. So
yeah. Ooh.
I think that becomes a way of life, Jerry. What you've done is adapted to a way of life, and you eat a whole variety of healthy things, and you kind of don't eat some of the bad things. One of my patients said this to me yesterday. It was very interesting. She's been with me now for 5-6 years, and we've reversed her type 2 diabetes, and she's very conscientious about what she eats, and she's invited to a Halloween party, and she's not going. The reason, she said, they'll just have bad things and high calorie sugar stuff. I don't want it anyway, so why bother? And I was like, wow, what a switch in thought process. Mm-hmm. You know, that food is now become center and important, and health has become important, whereas previously it wasn't.
Okay. It makes a big difference.
Yeah, it sure does.
Anyway, I hope we answered some of your questions.
Yeah, I hope so, John. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You bet.
Bye-bye, sir.
We're back in just a moment, taking a quick break, and your calls at 800-465-8770. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Stay tuned.
My husband and I have been listening. I wanted to tell you, you guys are absolutely delightful. The three of you make this perfect gem. We are planning to become patients very soon, and we love the information that Dr. Mixon conveys. It can't be found anywhere else.
Come with me, my love, to the sea of love.
Smiling too. Good morning. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Jerry Mixon here, Dr. Samira Umat. I'm Lynette, and Leading Edge Medicine is here because of Longevity Medical Clinic, where we want you to be healthier as you age, because we all age.
We do.
And yes, and it's just a matter of how well or how not well. And so many of us,
I want to age
not well.
Well and long.
Yes, and I don't want to take a bunch of prescription pills from the doctor because it's normal just to cover up things that I could fix.
Well, you know, have you been watching the TV commercials for TD lately? And the commercial begins with controlling your depression with antidepressants. And now the antidepressants are giving you TD. So there's a new drug that they're touting help control TD caused by a drug. And I was like, oh, gosh, this is what happens,
this
right?
is a cycle.
And by the way, you're mentioning TD, tardive dyskinesia.
Yeah.
It means you can't move smoothly. Your movements become
jerky
and intermittent.
And they're involuntary. You can't control them.
That's right. Yeah, and so now they add a new drug for the tardive dyskinesia that is caused by the antidepressants. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's why it's so important to get in and know where you are and what your body is doing, whether you're 80, 90, and you're seeing a bunch of problems, or maybe you're just starting to notice that you're gaining weight.
To make it very clear, I'm not opposed to medications when you need them. If you have a problem, you need a drug, it'll help improve that problem.
It may.
Yes.
But it may also cause new problems.
Yeah, it can. Mm-hmm. And often does.
That's
and, you
right.
know, when it comes to depression, the two things that I have found through the years at Longevity that help are to decrease systemic inflammation, because it turns out that every anti-inflammatory is also an antidepressant. Mm-hmm. And every effective antidepressant is also an anti-inflammatory. Which is why one of the latest treatments for COVID is a long-term antidepressant drug that's been around for decades. But it turns out it suppresses enough inflammation that it improves survival and decreases hospitalization with COVID. All of the systemic antidepressants like ibuprofen and so on are also antidepressants. The problem is that they have so many gastrointestinal side effects, mm-hmm. and in some events like ibuprofen, cardiovascular side effects, that you can't safely take them long term. But at Longevity, we are looking at your inflammatory indices.
Yeah.
And as we decrease inflammation, most people get a lot more cheerful.
Yeah.
Relatively few serious depressive disorders at Longevity. The other thing is elevating the androgens, testosterone, dehydroepiandrosterone, are both potent antidepressants.
Yeah.
There's a lot of literature showing that men and now women with low androgen levels have a much higher incidence of depression.
Well, sure, they're brain hormones.
Yes, they're neurotransmitters. They change the way we feel and think.
That's right.
So depression, anxiety, stress intolerance are frequently caused by low dehydroepiandrosterone and testosterone in men and women.
Mm. And how do we know if we're low?
We measure.
We measure.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing. Everybody is low as they get older.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. And because that is the norm, most physicians don't think there's value in measuring.
Right.
Right?
Because when you're old, it's going to be low. Well, why not raise it up to where they're healthier?
That makes logical sense.
What
to
a
me.
Novel concept.
Yes. Yeah. But that means that we end up treating a lot of old people for, quote, a normal condition.
Mm.
And that is not popular in current medical thought.
Yeah. You know,
if it happens to a lot of people, it must be good.
Must be, yeah.
Which, you know, slow, fat, weak, dumb, sexless. What's good about any of that?
Yeah,
that
I don't think so. I don't think so.
So, you know, so yes, we treat the normal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, stuff that is normal in old people, but is abnormal in healthy young people. And so we fix it.
There you go. And the first step is making that health analysis appointment. It's a free appointment for you to come into Longevity Medical Clinic. You can do that in Linwood, in Kirkland, or in Tacoma. And when you come in, they will do two tests for you as part of the health analysis appointment.
Yeah, the first test is a blood test, and that gives us an idea about your hemoglobin A1C, which is a measure of risk for diabetes, prediabetes, or type 2 diabetes. And
it's specifically the percentage of your red blood cells that have been damaged by sugar.
That's right. And that is how your doctors actually manage your control of diabetes. That's how they adjust your medications. But here, we are interested in knowing where you're at, because a normal value can also cause inflammation in the brain and increase your risk for dementia. Mm-hmm. It causes increased risk for coronary artery disease and so many other chronic conditions that we don't want it to get high in the normal range. So for us, our goal is 5.2% or less.
Yeah, it turns out that within the normal range, if you are the low end of normal versus the high end of normal, the difference is 100% change in how fast your brain is shrinking. People that are high normal are losing brain tissue twice as fast as people that are low normal.
Yeah.
So we want your A1C to be as low as practical.
Absolutely right. And the sooner we get on that and start working, the better you'll preserve your function and not get a bad or long-term diagnosis. And that therein lies the key. You know, if you're noticing, oh, you're not thinking as fast, or you're walking into a room and forgetting why you walked in more frequently than not, know that the changes are already taking place and you can halt, slow down, and reverse this.
Senior moments are a sign of cognitive decline. That's just all there is to it.
Yeah, that's
we kind
right.
of laugh at them, but it's not really a laughing matter. It's the beginning of symptoms of things to come.
And yes, more importantly, we think that dementia is a disease of, you know, 70 plus. Well, it's not, because those symptoms begin in your 40s and 50s. Mm-hmm. And if you can reverse them and slow them down in the 40s and 50s, you will live a healthier 70, 80 and beyond.
You know, there are now several studies that have looked at people in their 40s and followed them. And they're looking at the markers in their 40s that predict now who will develop cognitive decline and or dementia in their 50s and 60s and 70s.
Sure. But they also know that they can reverse it.
Yes.
In the 40s, they know they can really reverse it.
But these were just observational studies. They just said, you know, let's look and see what people have in their 40s.
Yeah.
Then who goes bad in their 60s?
Yeah.
And what was the predictors? And we now know what many of those predictors were.
That's right.
And we do know also that if we get on it, we can protect your brain and to some modest degree reverse the bad stuff that's happening to you.
That's right. When was it? Was it 2016 or 2014 when Bredesen published his first study and you went down to meet him?
That was September of 16.
16. Okay. All right. And then the second test is the InBody. Now, this is very important because muscle is a currency of aging, and you want to know how much muscle mass you have in relationship to your visceral fat level. If your fat level is rising, your muscle will be shrinking. Muscle changes as we get older. The young, youthful muscle fibers are basically making fat. They're burning fat. They make healthy cells. They brain-derived neurotropic factors come from working healthy muscle. And the more working healthy muscle you have, the better off you will be. Your balance, your muscle, your bones, your inflammation markers, risk for cancer, all of them are diminished with higher muscle mass. And that's what we're looking at. We're looking at muscle in your arms, in your legs, in your core, your total muscle in relationship to your visceral fat level, and what is your basal metabolic rate. And we use that information to help you improve on your muscle mass.
That's right. And when you come in for that health analysis appointment, which is free, the health advocate will also give you information about those two tests. And then you decide if you would like a bigger test with a full panel to find out about your hormone levels, your thyroid levels, what's going on in your body, your inflammation markers. Those are so many important things, and so many of us don't know what all that means, which is why Longevity is here with the health advocates to tell you what's going on in your body. Let's get you in for that free health analysis appointment. Make that first step and go to our website, which is lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com. And here's the phone number. It's kind of cool and easy to remember. It's 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. Now, when you go to our website, you can click on free health analysis appointment, pick the best time and the best day that works for your busy schedule in Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. And when we see you, we will also give you $100 in free supplements. We want you to be the healthiest you that you can be, so you can be stronger, faster, leaner, smarter.
And sexier.
And sexier. Oh,
where's the zest in that sexy, Jerry?
We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine.
I'm looking at the unicorn on my watch.
In just a moment. Stay tuned.